Welcome to Shoresides, where we explore the coastal North Carolina region's past, present, and future to promote resilience. We hear from our guests who share their insights into the challenges faced by the region and seek potential solutions to help coastal North Carolina thrive. Today we have with us Claudia Rivera Cotto. She's a journalist for Enlace Latino NC. She's here to talk about her article, International Teachers Fill Void Amid Rise in North Carolina Teacher Turnover.
What's been happening with the teacher shortage in North Carolina public schools?
So public school teachers in North Carolina have left the profession in increasing numbers last school year. According to the State of the Teaching Profession of 2022 and 2023, there has been an increase of 47% over the previous school year in the state. So there has been specifically a increased teacher turnover in North Carolina.
Okay, so what's one way the problem is potentially being resolved?
Amid this situation, international teachers have emerged as a valuable resource, significantly contributing to the North Carolina educational system. We have seen that the numbers of teachers that are employed with the Visiting International Faculty Program rose to 1,893 during this 2022-2023 year. And this is an increase from 511 that were in the previous year. So we see that the international teachers have started to fill those gaps in the vacancies of teachers in North Carolina this particular year, more than the previous year.
Wow. And that's a significant jump.
Yes. So that's basically more than 1,000 teachers, international teachers more. So it is definitely a big jump from what we have seen the previous year.
Yes. Tell us a little about why you decided to look at this trend.
Yes. So I was looking to the State of the Teaching Profession in North Carolina document, which is a document designed by the Department of Public Instruction, and they highlight the differences of the public school system, particularly as it relates to teacher attrition rates and also just the new teachers that are coming into the state of North Carolina. And I was looking into this document, and first what we saw was the rise in the attrition rate, but I decided that I wanted to also look into ways that the states or the different counties were trying to combat this issue. And that's where I saw that international teachers also had a rise in the amount that were coming into the states. So I started asking, how does this relate to the situation in the educational landscape? And definitely what I heard was that their international teachers are coming here in North Carolina more because of those vacancies and those difficulties to maintain the teachers that are in the states at the moment.
And then can you describe a little about the backgrounds of some of these international teachers who are coming into and helping our North Carolina classrooms?
Teachers come from a variety of backgrounds. As I was mentioning, a lot of them come from Jamaica, Colombia, and the Philippines. However, there are a variety of countries that they come from. And I did interview two teachers, Yolanda Gomez and Freddy Romero, which come from Mexico and Colombia. And they were mentioning that, you know, the experiences that they bring into the table are not necessarily only to fill those gaps, but also to contribute to the cultural exchange in classrooms and being able to talk with students that also are international. In most cases, they are able to create more in-depth communication with these students, because we do have international students here in North Carolina that sometimes English is their second language, and having this teachers being able to communicate in their first language is also something that has brought a lot of help in the classrooms. Some of them were mentioning, particularly Freddy Romero was mentioning, that in some instances, they're able to talk with the parents and know a little bit about what are the backgrounds of the students, if they have missed some classes before, if they have skipped some, even some of the grades that they're supposed to have had in their country of residency where they come from. And they have noticed that having these conversations with the parents and their students that relate to them more, they're able to also adequately change the curriculum in some cases, and even give more personalized help to the students that are being left behind in some cases as well.
Amazing. Yeah. And, you know, it occurs to me that I had some international teachers growing up, but they were specifically language teachers. And while that was valuable, I think it creates an almost artificial kind of impression, gives an artificial impression of multiculturalism only being relevant in that one context. And so it sounds like what you're saying is that it's not just about, you know, potential language skills, although that certainly factors in, but that there's also an important education model that has to do with just the diversity of the teachers who are now helping to inform students in a totally different and non-language specific way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. And like, for example, Yolanda Gomez, she also mentioned that she talks with the students about like the cultural richness of her country, which is Mexico. And she has highlighted the importance of this for some second and third generation Mexican students here, but also other students that are American students or from other cultures that maybe have misconceptions about her country. So she has seen that this cultural exchange helps in that way. And then for Freddy Romero, which is from Colombia, he has seen that also doing what is called co-teaching, he has been able to help this English language learner students throughout adjustments of the curriculum and the guides, as well as vocabulary, to understand a little bit more about what are the gaps that the students are having, and helping them move forward in a way that benefits everybody in the classroom.
All right, great. And could you tell us a little more about the challenges some of these international teachers face, and perhaps a little about some potential solutions?
Yes. Yeah, so the journey of the visa J1 has its challenges, as you were mentioning. Some of those are the cost of the documentation itself to obtain the visa. It can range from like hundreds of dollars. Obviously, it might seem like a low money for some people, but it is expensive for other persons that do want to obtain these visas. And another issue that they also have is just a cultural adjustment coming from another country and having to adapt to a new culture as well is something that they require a little bit more help with. And they do mention that some of the sponsors help with this a little bit, but they would like to see a little bit more of help in this process so they can be able to adapt more and understand the differences in the culture as they move on. Specifically, another issue that they encounter is that they are restricted to have a second employment. And as we were talking, we know that the state of North Carolina has the teacher salaries below the national level. So for them, not being able to have a second job restricts them in a way that other teachers that are here without those visas are able to obtain another job and have this another source of income. So those are some of the challenges that they face when they have this visa. And then just like the final, I guess, restriction is just the visa itself limits the retention of this talent. And I guess that is a limitation that is not only for the teachers themselves, but also for the states and the schools that want to retain these teachers. They see it as a way that they would love to have more, a process that is more designed for them to be able to obtain a visa that has longer time period, or they would also like to see a way in which sponsors help them obtain citizenship. So that is something that they would like to see more in terms of policy change. That is something that policymakers would need to also engage in that solution, because unfortunately, the specific visa, since it's designed for the cultural exchange and not work per se, it complicates that process of permanency residency in the United States. So it would have to be something that also policymakers would need to take into consideration as well.
Yeah, and with this second job restriction, do you have a sense of why that exists as a policy?
So that is also because of the fact that the J-1 is designed for cultural exchange and not work visa. So that problem also stems from the same issue of being a cultural exchange program. Because they are specifically sponsored by this visa to do that particular exchange job that they're doing, in this case is the education sector, they cannot work in anything else that is not what they came here for, basically. So they are only allowed to do that specific job and nothing else.
All right, great. And as we wrap up, what can we expect from this trend going forward?
What we have seen is that there are more counties that are starting to want international teachers, and the trend shows that it'll continue to rise. So for instance, one of the things I highlighted in the article is that, for example, Guilford County, which is the third largest school district in North Carolina, hired 42 international teachers last year. And this is the largest group of this kind in the district's history. So we have seen that it continues to be a trend in which these counties are starting to get more international teachers, and counties that probably before didn't have any international teachers are starting to see this as an option to fill those vacancies in the educational landscape.
All right, great. Well, this concludes our show. I want to thank you, Claudia, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So we hope you gained a deeper understanding of the challenges and triumphs experienced by the vibrant communities of coastal North Carolina. Remember that the stories we explore here shape the path ahead. Thanks for listening. Learn more about Shoresides at www.shoresides.org. I'm Ren Smith. Thanks for listening.